A very pleasant good morning. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. My name is Lisa Gale. Today is the Friday edition, today is actually the 31st of January, last day of the month, 2020. We look forward to your calls. We look forward to your WhatsApps. The number to call is 431-430-1790. And the WhatsApp is 266-4862. Or 266 IVOB. We have a number of things on the table, whether it is the economy, whether it is the pending global crisis, which is the novel coronavirus. We've had a lot of discussion about that. And then there are a number of things topical that are local. A lot is also going on in the geopolitical world. If we are following what's happening in North America, if we're following what's happening in the Mideast, there are a number of things that are going on. And then if we are sports fanatics, we just lost one of our basketball icons. So a number of things on the table today. I really wanted to zoom in a bit on the governor of the central banks, his report. And we have a number of persons who I know are scheduled to give us a call today, I'm sure, to talk about that subject. And then if you would have listened yesterday, our colleague Joyanne would have had a lot of discussion on the coronavirus. So I'll open the phone lines to hear from you, and we hope to have an engaging discussion. We go until 1 p.m. today. As I said, my name is Lisa Gale, and we have Mrs. Michelle Brathwaite in the studio. She'll be the one who would answer your calls. So you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Miss Gale.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah. You don't know that you're finishing at 1 o'clock today. We have to move at a certain rapid pace. The first thing, Miss Gale, I called to talk about is for the members of the WhatsApp. WhatsApp you on the day, who support this government. I wonder for one moment to take off the shades. Let's look at the, and this includes Mr. Rawl, R-A-L-L, Rawl. Mr. Gill, I was told that by Mr. Adrian Dublin that there's no more problem existing. Where sure is this concern flowing onto the road, and that is true. But that is what's happening. You have the Reese, which runs from, let's say, St. Lawrence back down to the West Coast, that are sick. Now, it's going to take millions of dollars to get back to Reese to be very in a healthy state. Mm-hmm. You destroy the Reese, then you've got to spend millions of dollars to get them back to healthy states. I would like to ask you one question. Where is the wisdom in this? In everything they got, it has to be make sense. Things you do should make sense. Try to show me the sense of this.
So you don't think that the engineers and the technicians, all those persons who would have participated in the decision making and providing a solution, don't you think that they are the ones best placed
to ask a question to?
I
might agree with you, but tell me something. Mm-hmm. You don't solve a problem by creating another problem.
Well, that happens. if you look at the very deadly virus called, well, it's not even a virus. If you look at cancer, I understand it's actually not called a disease. And you look at what is used to affix or to address the challenges in some person's bodies, they have to go through some therapy, chemo that is, and then some radiation.
Yeah.
And we know that it has some very deleterious impacts on the body. Mm-hmm. By killing off some of the good parts of the body, and it can actually impact negatively on some of the actual organs of the person of the patient. So they are the ones best placed. Again, they're the scientists, and they've said this is the best thing that we have that we can use to bring this person back to restoration. So if you look at it from that within that context.
Yeah.
I think that can help you to understand that sometimes you have to go through, like, for example, pruning. plants don't necessarily want to lose, or the owner doesn't necessarily want to lose the nice fresh herb, fresh hedge that they have, but they have to cut it back sometimes in order for it to spring in a better way and a more, you know, a more beautiful way. So sometimes you do have to make some decisions that are not necessarily as positive in order to get the overall outcome.
Miss Gail, where you're talking about this cancer stuff, I asked a young doctor one time, mm-hmm. if that cancer is your problem, why not remove the cancer cells? He said that if you do that, you're off balance. The body, they're there for a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it, Miss Gail, is that even if you go to your doctor and you get treated for cancer, mm-hmm. you may live a certain amount of time, but at the end of the day, it's going to come back.
Okay.
And this is the thing about it. So you might pay...
Not all patients.
Majority of them, back. They do come back. I just had a friend, she paid $60,000 there to get her breast removed. Mm-hmm. She lasted about 2 months. The doctor mm-hmm. said it was okay and everything is fine. There's mm-hmm. no more traces of the cancer. Mm-hmm. At that particular point, although he was treated, but the cancer always remained. So this is what you are telling me, though, is do we have a cancer situation that the insurance up there?
I think that it is a bad situation, and I think even as we, if you remember the last, it might have been the penultimate response from the minister with responsibility, Adrian.
Yeah, my last point.
I'm just saying he did mm-hmm. say that while we have a fix, mm-hmm. though temper, and I remember those words because he indicated that the problem is pretty complex
uh-huh.
and that there will be some other challenges for which they are attempting to address. That was what Minister Abrams had addressed. He addressed a small gathering and it came on in the press, and I remember seeing that response.
Yes, that's the last thing on this. Last year, France used to dump tariffs in the sea to make what they call artificial reefs. They realized they were giving off toxic gases.
Yes.
You know what they had to do?
Yeah.
Spend millions of dollars to get the tariffs down there to bring back up the tariffs.
Yes.
You imagine the ostensible human beings. My last point, though, Miss Gare, is that I went down to St. Lucie for this 2020 vision. I may want to look around. It's a very beautiful parish. Mm-hmm. But I tell you something, it's going to take a lot of money to spend down there to develop St. Lucie. You have places like Bear Cock, Bear Strokes, Bear, the Admiral for Cave, Little Bear. All those are tourist attractions.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
The conditions out there, even the road to take you to the Harrison's Lighthouse,
mm-hmm.
there's another tourist attraction. But down there, it's like bush. It's like the jungle is, when you look at a picture of one of those places, Africa is like a jungle, a wild jungle over there. So I am saying that what little money that they will get at St. Lucie,
mm-hmm.
that might be able to buy a couple of sheets, plywood or some bricks for the different hospital, but they'll have to look over $30 or $40 million to spend that parish alone.
Okay.
So I'm looking now for St. Peter, what St. Peter has to offer, and mm-hmm. how much money they will have to spend on St. Peter, and where this money is going to come from.
Mm.
Certainly not for the people that I see down there.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. One question. It's going to take a lot to develop St. Lucie and potentially St. Peter, according to the last caller. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lisa.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Natrum.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I didn't say anything at the top of the program because I expected to hear from you at some point. And just really to just break down some of the comments relative to the report of the governor of the central bank for our listeners.
Good morning to you and to everybody. I think there are a few things that I find very interesting in the report. I suppose one of them that you would pick up is this idea of tourism, that tourism is actually doing relatively well. I mean, you know,
35% measured increase.
over 6 years is a lot of growth, actually. 35%
yes.
increase is substantial.
Yes.
It's, you know, on average, like 5% growth a year.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the rest of the economy simply hasn't grown.
Yes.
And you begin to see that coming out in the GDP figures released by the Barbados Statistical Service and the updated report of the central bank. It strongly suggests that even when there is growth in the tourism sector, mm-hmm. there doesn't seem to be much spillover. And it is concerning because if we do expect tourism to drive the entire economy, mm-hmm. It's going to need to have substantial spillovers into the rest of the real economy. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll just you'll end up with a monocrop economy once again, mm-hmm. you know, where you have one dominant sector and nothing else is able to grow because there are no feedbacks into the rest of the economy. Apart from that, it looks to us like there isn't a huge amount of potential for Barbados to grow at this point. And that is, the term we use is the potential growth rate, the long-run potential growth rate. And so that's actually a quite technical term. Yes. And you have to think of it like the capacity of the economy. I like to use the metaphor or the example of a car. So when you get a car, you buy a car, it has a top speed of, say, 150 kilometers an hour. Mm-hmm. And it simply can't go any faster than that. And if you want your car to go faster than that, then you're going to have to think about investing serious money to make modifications to this car to expand the capacity of the car so that it can go faster. And that's the same thing we need to do with the economy. At present, you know, over the last really 2 decades for sure, Barbados's growth rate has been on average around or below 1%, oh, yes. which is not a very high natural rate of growth. And the problem is that there hasn't been a substantial amount of investment, particularly in new technology, that would expand the capacity, would effectively expand, you know, raise the top speed of the economy. And in this report, two things were very instructive. One was that government investment has fallen. So, you know, obviously the government is on a fiscal consolidation, but fiscal consolidation themselves cannot help an economy grow. A fiscal consolidation itself cannot fix an economy. And in fact, you simply need economic growth because the fiscal consolidation could easily become almost, you know, self-destructive.
But are we being too optimistic in our expectation, given that we're in a consolidation, a fiscal consolidation package program, et cetera?
Well, I mean, on the point of economic growth, you have to be very measured about what you expect, right? But the thing about investment, particularly government investment, is that it's not about the growth you get right now. It's about the expansion of the capacity of the economy to grow in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, okay. in 5 years down
so
the line.
So that's like creating that environment so that the potential for growth can occur.
Exactly. So you're basically needing to lay down a framework now for growth in the future. And one problem we've seen is that government investment, along with all of government spending, has contracted. So it's now lower than it was in 2017, likely as a result of consolidation. But it is a concern from the perspective that, you know, public investment is hugely important in facilitating economic growth. And on the private side, while we don't have clear data, one of the good proxies for private investment is construction.
Yes.
And construction is down almost 11% over the last 2 years.
Yes.
That is a huge blow and suggests that there has been a drastic decline in new investment in Barbados. And so it makes it difficult to see, without any clear evidence of new investment, makes it difficult to see where we're going to expand the productive capacity of the country to raise the long-run natural rate of growth. On that point, and it's one thing I always talk about, and it's in the report again, is that the cash holdings of the commercial banks have increased again.
Yes.
They you know, continue to get more deposits and continue to hold on to them because it seems that they are finding it difficult to lend it out, or maybe they are very uncertain about lending it out. And as a result, private lending did not increase at all. Lending to businesses did not increase at all in 2019. Now, there are issues that we need to look at in the financial sector and different ways we can think about it. One is that we can think about what incentives or disincentives we're creating for commercial banks to lend. So, for example, one of them is the commercial bank asset tax. Yes. And so while it brings in around $50 million for the government a year, that is really $50 million of disincentive you're creating for financial institutions to lend. Mm. And that is, you know, you're thinking about how will they respond to this asset tax? And it seems that one of the major ways they've responded to it is by lending a lot less.
Yeah. So you would say that this potentially has created a further risk aversion on their part. Or maybe they might have been having too much default, and as a result, they don't want to increase their default rate, and therefore they have been cautious.
I think it's a mix of all of these things. And when you see an agent, a bank is thinking about reducing its lending and because of whatever it sees going on in the environment, the worst thing that can be tapped on top of that is increasing the cost of capital, basically, to the cost of lending to businesses. That makes compounds the problem. So, I mean, we really just need to think about the incentives. And the issue here is that they will respond as banks in a manner that benefits them. So we need to think about things in that way. And on the financial sector, the second issue is that outside of the commercial bank, there hasn't been a lot of movement in creating a strong non-bank financial sector. There are a number of things that were outlined in last year's budget, yes, that were very promising.
The green incentives.
I think there were six of them.
Yes. Pardon? There were some instruments identified not only by the Prime Minister when the budget was done, but then also by the Minister of Investment, the Honourable Marsha Cadell, about some instruments to catapult growth and to spur activity also within the same green economy.
And I believe those were fantastic ideas. And I would love to see us get moving on those as soon as possible, because those are going to be the things that really can help to drive investment that will be able to expand the growth capacity of the country.
Any other pointers as it relates? Those were the two financial. Any other observations? I want to question you, though, on the point of if tourism, let's say we have a trailer truck and tourism is the big bulldozer, the big one, and then the rest of the economy is behind, and tourism isn't pulling the rest of the economy along, then what will Barbados do? Because that is you kind of quite rightly put it in a way that I did some reading before and saw them talking about Barbados once being a monocrop, and yes, it was sugar, and now it's another monocrop, and that's tourism, because the others are not as large. You know, they're not paying their way or playing the critical role that needs to be played so as to have a diversified economy. And my question to you then would be, what then if tourism isn't spilling over to the rest of the economy? What then? Not that you should suggest another sector, because it's not that simple. But what then can we do? I mean, we've done some things to diversify tourism in and of itself. But what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, you know, I do think that tourism, it's not time to throw away the tourism yet. And I do think that there's still a lot of benefit to be had from tourism. The issue is how it is designed, and whether it is designed to maximize the benefit to Barbadians, to Barbadian citizens and to Barbadian businesses. At present, Barbados' tourism industry is very isolated. There are a few isolated players who benefit massively from the tourist industry, and the rest of us don't interact with it at all. Now, in order for tourism to deliver broad-based benefits and for us to, for the country to ride the wave of tourism, it needs to be designed in a way that has intricate and lots of links, yes, with the rest of the economy. And in my perception, the way that must be done is almost a democratization of the tourism sector. We always say that it's everybody's business, but not really. Okay. It really isn't. It's very few of our business. And yes, it is a growing sector, and yes, it takes advantage of one of the fantastic resources that we have available to us, the sun, sea, and sand. Mm-hmm. But we do need to create a tourism that is driven by the average Barbadian, and that benefits the average Barbadian. You'll notice that many of the transactions that occur in tourism occur outside the level of the actual Barbados economy, and even physically so. A lot of the transactions that happen outside of Barbados with respect to tourism. And so it is time for us to almost domesticate tourism so that it is genuinely our business.
That is very useful. I want to thank you. If you have any final words, I would give you. Other than that, I really appreciate your sharing with us today.
Okay. Well, I mean, the final thing is that I do think, you know, the central bank has suggested that we're expecting 1.25 to 1.7% growth. It is optimistic, but it's highly possible given that we do have some one-off events this year. That will probably bring substantial economic activity. The issue is that we can't rely on one-off events all the time going forward into the future to bring economic growth, to generate economic growth. Yes. And instead, we're going to have to invest substantial funds into expanding the growth capacity of the country. And just one final thing then, one final statistic that comes out of the central bank's report is that in Barbados, GDP per capita, that is real output per person,
yes,
is down 9% from its 2008 level. That is, we're all producing 9% less than we were in 2008. So this is a long way that we still have to go in order to recover lost ground before we even talk about going forward. So we need to recover first, and we need to decide and understand what direction we're going. And it has to be in the direction of increasing the potential capacity of the country. And of the economy.
Thank you so much. This is Simon Atram, President of the Barbados Economic Society. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Now that the World Health Organization has defined the coronavirus as a global emergency, what are its implications for us in Barbados and the rest of the region? That's what we talk about this coming Brass Tacks Sunday. Our panelists will include representatives of the Pan-American Health Organization. And if you are someone living in China, has family there, or other vital links, we want to hear from you now. WhatsApp us today at 230-1023 and tell us of your concerns. You shouldn't miss this Brass Tacks Sunday from 11 in the morning in association with Williams Industries Incorporated, right here on Voice of Barbados.
Dr. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Before I go into what I have to say, I heard a caller yesterday talking about the people who leave the road and the stuff being left there. It's not their fault if they're not provided with bikes. It is not their fault if a truck or whatever don't come along and pick up the stuff after them. Many people call and criticize people like that, I think you're doing them a great injustice. I think what you should do or should have done is to call the management of whatever institution that is responsible for this. And even talk on the people's, the workers' behalf. I know that people get annoyed with people that they see. But the persons that you should really get annoyed with are the persons who are hiding offices. They are the ones who make the decisions, not the people who... And it seems to be like a cancer spreading throughout the system. Transport boards, supervisors, and drivers get cut. The people at Weymouth in the air conditioning office, nobody don't talk about them. The people for MTW get cut. The people in the air conditioning office, again, nobody don't talk about them. It's coming up that this nonsense talk deal with the people who make these decisions and not the workers. The workers are doing what they're supposed to do. Now, my comment to this is to the minister of everything. And if you want to know who that minister of everything is, he's tax man. I just also wonder if this man is a machine, a human being, if he have a heart, or if he's just a most piece of the barbarians of a party. And I know I'm going to get some criticism for this. I usually don't care. He always talk about what the government have achieved. I have never heard him talk about the people who lost their jobs, who have mortgages to pay, who have children to send school, the increased bus fares, the $48 water tax, the increase of fuel prices. I mean, fuel prices go up, everything automatically goes up. Not once have I heard him talk about the people who have been sacrificed, because that is what they have become, the living sacrifice. He always talk about, the Barbarians of the Party do this, the Barbarians of the Party do that. At whose expense? I want you to answer that question. I would really like to get in the studio with these people, you know. I would love it to happen before I get to my grave.
We don't come down.
Allow him to come and talk. I'm not saying that you're one of them. And talk, and talk, and talk. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I see that it is so bad out there here. People know are at the risk of losing their homes. I know people who can't send school to children. And you talk about they give you an increase. What sense does it make giving me a $20 increase as you're going to put an island-wide $48 water tax on everybody's water bill rather than go out to the people who own water authority? But the $20 is gone already.
Okay.
That's basic common sense. I am not against anybody supporting a party of their choice. What I am against is people supporting that party when they're wrong.
I have one response for you, which suggests that the caller yesterday was not criticizing the workers. In fact, the caller was suggesting that there should be change, similar to what you are suggesting. But I'm going to thank you for your call so much. You have raised an important matter. At the side of the roads, it isn't the workers that are the ones who have to supply the bags or whatever it takes to assist with the removal, but that would be the particular division that is responsible for the removal. It is one of my peeves. I actually don't like to see the roads being clean and the debris left there for 2 and 3 days. It's really a nuisance, and it could become a hazard, a driving hazard. So I would suggest that there be some coordination between the persons who do the cleaning and right thereafter. Let's say they clean up until 12, the removal occurs between 1 to 4 or something like that. But it really is a pain in the eye, and then for those who are driving and those who are walking. So some pedestrians actually have to walk outside the road, and you know, it could be a little hazard for the drivers. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning. This is Glenn Murray.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Excellent. I was very intrigued by the presentation by Mr. Natrum.
Mm-hmm.
The economy is not my main focus this morning, but I've always found it to be very straightforward, very clinical, very clear in his outlining of it. I mean, you don't have to, he doesn't mince words, mm-hmm. but he gives it, he sounds very professional and very authoritative at the same time. He breaks it down in very simple language. So
yes.
When I was listening to him, I was very intrigued to about the point when he talked about the 35% growth, but that does not seem to be seeping
filtering.
And it reminded me of my when it a long time ago when it, the economics, I heard about some economics. I heard the term you should have backward, forward, and final demand linkages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of that concept.
Most lately.
he hinted at that at the end. In other words, in order for tourism to have its impact on the whole society,
mm-hmm.
there has to be a number of linkages with that and the thing at various stages.
But we always talk about linkages. I remember many years ago having a discussion, and very vociferously was the head of the BAS at the time, same head, James Paul,
right,
talking about the agriculture sector being a critical support, and for sure wanting to see more linkages. And then generally, I just did some work in Grenada, and they've actually put some mechanisms in place to assist the manufacturing and agricultural sector to increase and bolster the linkages with the tourism sector, and they are seeing some improvements. So I think everybody's aware that there are linkages and that there should be linkages. As he says, the design of our setup causes Barbados to have a lot of activity external to Barbados, or outside, activity happening outside of the economy, which doesn't then filter to us because we are not a part of that. We're not participating in it. So he's saying the design needs to be modified so as to increase the access for Barbadians.
To me, it's not a... You don't have to be a genius to be able to work that out. And what you do, you design programs, activities, arrangements that get the linkages going. It's not going to happen by itself. It has to. It's not going to happen organically. It has to be thought of and conceptualized and implemented to make sure it happens. To make that these, make sure that these, they're not only linkages, but the linkages function and have the desired effect on the economy. Otherwise, we will not really benefit from it in the way that we should. So. Yeah, that would advise, apart from that, we don't only add value to the economy, it's advantage to the product, to the service, make the interest programs more interesting.
Yes.
You offer more interesting program to the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why you might not be getting a bigger spend from the tourists is that there might not be enough activities or activities of a nature that would attract them to want to spend more money, or they're not exposed to these activities. So it's a comprehensive approach where you have to look wherever possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I know I've been to countries where... like cruise ships. When you get on a cruise ship, you walk through shops and things.
Shopping centers.
Yeah. Every step of the way, it is to get you to buy, to tempt you to open your eyes to the possibility of buying stuff. But so you don't go on a tour and then come and go on the board. So that is take you outside of the realm.
Indeed.
Maybe there's something you have to look at, you know?
I've been in so many of those conversations. It is amazing. Even simple tours, there's always just some shop, not necessarily a thrift shop or a souvenir shop, but some shop where the persons who participate in tour can benefit from some of the things
in
the
community.
And it's not just, spend isn't only just buying. I know people talk about tourism spend. That's not even the only thing. The spillovers have, that's but one of them, and that's the one very tangible way in which we can measure a tourist passing through. But there are other mechanisms which I'm sure...
One quick idea I've had, like, you have the Bridgetown port and thousands of people come off most days of the cruise ship. We should have at some point around Bridgetown, and there should be a great cultural talent, how great it is. But there's no show that a man can come for 2 hours, sit down, have lunch, a drink, and watch a show of exposition of Barbie and Tan live and direct.
But there was an attempt to have it in the latter part of last year with the Festival Fridays.
No, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about life as part of your daily activity. Is a possibility you should be able to go out and spend an hour here and see a show. Live entertainment in the around the Bridgetown area.
Mm-hmm.
That should be designed into a program. We have lots of people. You talk about Barbados, Bridgetown being dead and whatnot, but that would bring life to Barbados during the day.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk off, you know, that could be built into the program. When you're selling the tours or whatever, let people know that there's lots of land on with the harbor. Somebody could put something in a building and have that as part of a built-in program. To me, that's one sure way of doing it. But I digress, and I digress a lot.
And there are tours, by the way.
Tours outside? Yeah,
there,
know,
there are tours. No, there
want,
are tours.
I want a musical event that you go to.
I know
to
what you mean, yeah.
Right,
but,
okay.
But there are a few tours that happen in and around Bridgetown.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this program on Sunday on the coronavirus.
Yes.
Because it's a curse, and as I watch how it's handling, how it's being handled in the world, I saw this morning, I was watching BBC, and they're showing that they've have two cases in the UK, and people are being brought off a plane and being isolated, who came from the affected province and whatnot. But it brought home to me the observation by Marshall McLuhan right back in the 1950s that the world being a global village, and if you ever thought about it, it's more than a slogan. It really is life in action, especially related to Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm looking forward to the program on Sunday is that I hope it will help to wipe away some of the ignorance and prejudice and misinformation that is being bandied about and repeated about this virus. And in that regard, I want to say that I was very disappointed yesterday in the comments by the most honourable Anthony Carter and his comments about the virus and how it related. He made some commentary that was, to me, in my point of view, represented an unfortunate slur on Chinese people, on the Chinese government. To say that the Chinese government said that
if it was unfortunate, you don't need to repeat it.
No, but I
didn't hear it either. But if it was unfortunate, you don't need to repeat it.
But I repeated because he did not give any justification.
Well, just ignore, disavow, and don't repeat. But you're giving leverage to it when you repeat it.
But if we may come on other people, why can't we comment on that?
No, I'm saying if you think that what somebody said was disparaging, don't say over what they've said. That's all I'm saying.
I wouldn't say it in the terms, but I have to give you just of what they're saying to get your appreciation. I don't think you should paint a broad brush.
Right. And point is taken. You don't need to say any more.
Please, can I make my presentation, please?
You can make your presentation.
I'm not going to defame anybody or whatever. I'm trying to be as generous, Bob, but still. Because I was talking with Mr. Nathan's forthrightness, and you agreed. You come
right.
Please allow me to be forthright in my own way.
Okay.
Okay. Because the reason why I say that is because it reminded me of a song way back, I think, in 1983, 84, Cadavers. When they, when as a result of the rising in Grenada, when Morris Bishop was shot, etc., the medical, St. George Medical School came to Barbados, students were brought to Barbados, and then Prime Minister Tom Miles was looking at the possibility of establishing a medical school, St. George, in 1983. And the opponents of Mr. Adams of the BLP then, and the Democratic Party, couched it in some terms that misled the country, and that there were going to be all kind of diseases and unfortunate events if you'd be bringing bodies, and there was something called cadavers. You know what cadavers? You're not familiar with cadavers?
I'm not familiar with the song, but that's not that behavior is not surprising, though. Normally, people put down another set in order to big up one set. So that behavior is not normal. That's not abnormal behavior.
But I'm not saying it's normal. I'm saying what happened. And the effect was that we lost an opportunity. We lost 35 years of business in Barbados. What was happening in 1983 had to be postponed to 2018. That's the point I'm making. Because of the way things are portrayed and to capture the popular imagination. For whatever reasons, I thought Barbados, it was unfortunate. All right?
Okay.
My other point I want to say is that I have been watching Regathering, particularly from the major events which go to the rest of the world, you know, like the initial concert on New Year's Day at St. Lucie, and then the other concert for Albert Day at St. Lucie, the unveiling of the plaque. Yeah. And what I'm talking about though is, and while I have certain queries about the program, I think the program itself is well intended and it has a lot of potential. But what is bothering me, and if it's something that's supposed to sell Barbados to the rest of the world. The television coverage by CBC, I don't know if you've watched it. It seems as though, from my perspective, it has one camera. It either goes in And it all gives you a wide angle shot, or it zooms in. There's no cutaways, there's no split screens, there's no to make it interesting. And I found that it was so bad then that when the plaque was being unveiled by the Prime Minister in order, Mr. Barrow, they were shooting over the heads of the audience in the tent that where the unveiling was taking place. You saw only heads. You only saw somebody's face if they came to speak the function. And then we did not see the actual unveiling. It seems as though they have to, that's my interpretation, they have to take down the camera, remove the camera, and you miss the actual unveiling. And you have to see it in the newspaper or thing. But you did not see the actual plaque being unveiled. So I'm saying that there seems to be a limitation on CBC and its equipment. And if you're going to sell programs that are interesting to the rest of the world, right, you have to do better in your technical coverage.
Yes. Thanks, Glenn. I did see what you saw, and I did question why are we not actually seeing the plaque, etc. So it's a useful point that there needs to be a bolstering of the technical availability or the resources that are there for specific events like those where persons who are zooming in will want to see a greater coverage of what's there. So I'm going to thank you so much for your call and also your two observations, one about Natrium and the other one about Carter. This is Down to Brass Tacks.